gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. It is written, so the Lord scattered them abroad up from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. It is written, therefore, is a name of it called Babel. It is written, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, who made the nations drunk with the wine of her fornication. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. If life's pleasure cheer thee, give them not thy heart, lest those gifts ensnare thee, and from thy God depart. His praises speak, his favor seek. Fix there thy hope's foundation. Love him, and he shall ever be the rock of thy salvation. Death shall never harm thee. Shrink not from his blow. For thy God shall arm thee, and victory bestow. For death shall bring to thee no sting, thy grave no desolation. 'Tis gain to die with Jesus nigh, the rock of thy salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Genesis chapter 11 entitled, The Power of Pentecost and the Tower of Babel. Actually, the story of the building of the Tower of Babel is the story of man trying to find his way to salvation, man's way, and the story of the power of Pentecost is a story of man finding salvation God's way. Sometime after the incident of Noah, the ark, and the flood, when the human race began to increase in numbers, they were all of one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they came to the plain of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Shinar is identified a few verses later as Babel, also known as Babylon. And Babylon today is Iraq. So what else is new? The Bible is just as contemporary today as the 6 o'clock news. The leader of the people was a mighty man named Nimrod. He is identified in the previous chapter with a statement about Babel being the beginning of his kingdom. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. They had no stone, so they made brick. This city was built in the plain of Shinar and was a high-tech city. They set up a brick-building industry. Then they said, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top shall reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. That was quite an ambitious program. They were planning on going into the heavens under their own power. Notice the five times that it says, us. First they said, let us make brick. Then they said, let us build us a city and a tower. And then they said, let us get us a name. Us, 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 us. Now, where was God in this program of us? Although God was not invited to this ambitious program, God crashed the party anyway. God said, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So who was the us from heaven that went down to the us party in the plain of Shinar? The us is the same us that was involved in the creation of man. God said, let us make man in our image. Their plan to build a city and a tower that would reach into heaven must not have been very impressive, because when God investigated, he had to come down to see this great tower they had built. God wrecked the whole plan in a most amazing way. He did not send another flood. He confounded their tongues so they could not understand each other. And they were scattered in all directions. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a story of the beginning of the nations. Men are still building towers of Babel today, still trying to solve the riddle of life without God. There is the Tower of Babel, for example, of education. We know education is important, but education without Jesus Christ in the classroom is a tower of Babel. Consider Eve in the Garden of Eden. She had a Bachelor of Arts, a Master of Arts, and under the leadership of God, she was well on the way to even greater knowledge until she decided to take her doctorate under Professor Devil, Dean of the University of Hell. He assigned the topic for her doctoral thesis on the differences between good and evil. He told her if she could pass the course, she would really become wise. Dr. Eve passed the course, magna cum laude. You ought to have heard the lectures she gave her descendants on what she learned from Professor Devil. She could wax eloquent as she told how she learned how it feels for the first time to be scared, naked, cold, ashamed, mortal, and afraid of God. That was one time the devil told the truth. She did become wise, but it was a bitter knowledge that she gained. During the Nuremberg trials of the Nazi leaders after World War II, it was discovered that of the 12 men in Hitler's inner circle, 11 of them had the IQ of genius. Brilliance, without Christ in his word, can be devilish. Someone has said, better to know nothing at all than to know what is not so. Ladies and gentlemen, unsanctified learning is a Tower of Babel. Another Tower of Babel is the Tower of Babel of medicine. A list of the top five diseases of the leading killers of humanity in 1900 will show that some of those diseases, because of medical science, are now under control. But a new list has taken their place. When the list of the top five killers today are brought under control, according to that lesson of history, five other diseases will take their place. The average lifespan when I was born was 54 years. This low expectancy of life was due partly to a greater rate of infant mortality, and that brought the average down. I personally had older members of my grandfather's family who lived into their 80s and 90s, which blew that 54 average apart. The average life expectancy now is 77 years because more people are living to be the 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. The biblical limit has not been altered, but more people are living out their lives to the limit. After 80 years, David said, "It is soon cut off." If you live to be 100, that extra 20 years is in the soon cut off category compared to the 80 already lived. The one sure thing about life on this planet is the fact that we will all grow old and die because of the cherubims that stand at the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword which turns every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That sword turns every way. No matter what plan man can devise, the flaming sword is there. We will all run out of time sooner or later, but we will never run out of eternity. There's only one way back to the tree of life, and that's the way Jesus has given in John 8:51. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my word, he shall never see death." Any other way to find that kind of life is a Tower of Babel. Another Tower of Babel is the Babel of money, 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 money. Some people are blessed with a talent for making money. God warned Israel about their prosperity when they came to the Promised Land. He said not to say in their heart, "My power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee wealth and the power to get it, that he may establish his covenant." Making money is a God-given talent, and God expects us to use it for his glory. In 3 John, the apostle writes to Gaius, a wealthy Christian, and commends him for using his resources for the ongoing of the gospel. John tells him, "I pray that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." That prayer is something that cannot be prayed by most of us. If we pray that we may prosper even as our souls prosper, most of us would be bankrupt. We need to remember the story the Lord told of the man with the full barns, who said, "I will tear down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be?" I know one preacher who preached a sermon about the fact that we all have our little red barns, like the man that Jesus talked about. This man said he had 15 sweaters in his little red barn, 10 pairs of shoes, 12 suits, 30 shirts, and 100 neckties. Ladies and gentlemen, who in the world can wear 12 suits and 100 neckties, while many in the world are freezing to death? So how much do you have in that little red barn that belongs to God? Many years ago, I read where Gandhi advised a group of peoples as they departed from India to America in these words, "No matter what the Americans say in their churches, their real God is gold." The Twin Towers was a symbol of the power of our money. But with all our technology, barbarians with box cutters tore it down, and great was the fall thereof. Money not used for the glory of God is a twin tower of Babel. And now notice the contrast in the Tower of Babel and the power of Pentecost. One great contrast in the Tower of Babel and the power of Pentecost is in the confounding of the tongues. God confounded their tongues so that they might not understand each other. On the day of Pentecost, God confounded their tongues again so that every man heard the gospel in his own language wherein he was born. It is true, when the tongues were confounded, the nations at that time could not understand each other. It is still true today. The nations cannot understand each other. Look at television. Watch the United Nations in their meetings. They even wear headphones and have interpreters. And with all that going on for them, they still cannot understand each other. Theologically, it is true today also. At Pentecost, everyone heard the gospel in their own language, and all believed the same things, and there was no division among them. They were of one heart and soul. There were no such terms in their vocabulary as Protestant or Catholic. There were no such terms as Lent or Christen. There were no modern-day denominational names to be found in the Bible, in the vocabulary of the early Christians. So it seems that the religious vocabulary has been confounded again. But this time, it was not God that did the confounding. He wants us to be of the same mind and of the same judgment. One Lord, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. But because men do not like the language of God and prefer their own, the tongues again have been jumbled. Another contrast in the Tower of Babel and the power of Pentecost is in the city. At Babel, they said, "Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven." The power of Pentecost involves a city that does reach into heaven. Immediately after the fall of the Tower of Babel is the call of Abraham. Abraham went out at God's command, not knowing whither he went. But as we read in Hebrews 11, he went out looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The reason he looked for the city God would build was because, as Hebrews 13 tells us, we have not here an abiding city, but we seek after the city that is to come. No city here on earth will abide. That city Abraham was looking for had foundations. Jesus instructs us about that city with foundations at Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16, when he said, in regards to the confession that he was the Son of God, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Paul would also tell us in 1 Corinthians 3, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Regarding our own building on the rock, Jesus said in Matthew 7, everyone therefore who heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. That every one who heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the power of Pentecost. It was on that day that the church that Jesus said would be founded on the rock was born. To be more specific, the power of Pentecost was found in the message that was preached that day. Peter and the other apostles stood up and jangling in their hands the keys of the kingdom. They said that Jesus was delivered up by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Ye by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay whom God raised up. He said that not only was Jesus raised up, but that he also ascended up to God and sat down at the right hand of God. When they heard they had crucified the Lord, they said, "What must we do?" Peter told those believers what they were to do. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. That's the power of Pentecost. The next statement in the second chapter of Acts contains the whole program of the New Testament church. What is your program in your church? This is the program of the early church as given in the second chapter of Acts. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. These four items give us the entire program for any church today that wants to be the church that was started the day the church was born. The apostles' doctrine or teaching means that the church studies what the apostles wrote, namely the New Testament. Fellowship also includes the contribution of money. Everyone has heard that the word fellowship in Greek is koinonia. Notice the first syllable of koinonia. It sounds like our English word coin. Steadfast in koinonia. Then the breaking of bread. We must also remember and never forget, Jesus died for my sins. And the fourth part of the program is prayers. This is the program that will develop a church, like the church in the days of the apostles. It may not build a crowd, but it will build a church, and that is the power of Pentecost. To such as these, both then and now, is the promise of Revelation 22. Blessed are they who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that is the power of Pentecost. There's a contrast also in the symbolic nature of the city. The church is a reminder of the holy city that John saw coming down out of heaven. And the Tower of Babel is a reminder of Babylon. In Genesis, the 10th chapter, we are reminded that the beginning of the kingdom of Nimrod was Babel in the land of Shinar. In Revelation 17, the city of Babylon is called the mother of harlots that sits on many waters. The many waters are identified in verse 15 of that chapter, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations. It is a significant term. The harlot sits on the people. Once the harlot gets control of the people, she really sits on them. The harlot is God's term for the apostate church as compared to the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ are those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. The effort to build the Tower of Babel was defeated, and the efforts of the modern-day Tower of Babel or the apostate church will meet the same end. Listen to John in the book of Revelation, chapters 14 and 18. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, who made the nations drunk with the wine of her fornication. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and is become the habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. The day will come when every false religion, every false doctrine, and every prophet of the apostate church will fall, and great will be the fall thereof. My God, I mark with fear how many hopes decay, and like the foolish builder's house fall in the trial's day. Perhaps amidst this throng thou dost a soul espy, whose towering hopes are built on sand. I ask, Lord, is it I? 1,000 doubts arise, I bring them all to thee. Am I unconsciously deceived? Lord, search my heart and see. Oh, teach me deep to dig down to the solid rock, that when tornadoes round me sweep, my soul shall stand the shock. Jesus, thou only art the sure foundation stone. Firm as the eternal hills art thou, I build on thee alone. Cemented fast to thee, no stone is laid in vain. My soul defies the assaults of hell, the flood, the wind, the rain. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.